In another recording, I discussed old age in general, and the college has asked me to talk about my own aging, my experiences and reflections, and especially how I cope with it. I was in doubt because there is a fine border between personal and private, but I decided to give it a try. I start with the facts. I am 81 now, I have my chronic diseases, and I became a widower 5 years ago. I have 4 children, 8 grandchildren, and I live alone in the house we built almost 45 years ago. I notice, of course, the age in several and fairly typical ways. The body does not come along as it used to. I have become more unsteady. I use the railing and the stairs in ways I never did before. And strength and suppleness are markedly reduced. The tragic result of all this is that I have lost my interest and joy of skiing. Previously, I looked forward to the winter. Now I look forward to the spring. When my father was 65, he suddenly said, "I am tired of moving planks," gave away his skis, and started to paint beautiful pictures instead. I kept my skis till I was 75, and now I have to find other things to do. It is hard, and I miss skiing very much. An average 80-year-old in Norway has 3 chronic diseases. I have 4, and I often think about the words of the Norwegian writer Alexander Kielland, who said, "My diseases behave as friendly lodgers. I think about them as sleeping bears, and I don't want to wake them up with too much treatment. If I let you in peace," I tell them, "you will have to let me in peace." But this is a difficult point, because I have to behave rationally, both towards them and towards my doctors. There are several of them now, one for each disease. And I don't like pills. I think about the patient who asked his doctor why he had changed his pills. "So you noticed that," said the doctor with satisfaction. "Yes," said the patient. "Previously there was a red collar when I dropped them in the toilet, but now there is a blue collar." The hardest thing in my life is not the age, nor the chronic diseases, but the loss and sorrow since my wife died. We met early, 17 and 19, and together we received the greatest of all gifts, lifelong love. She became a part of my life, and I became a part of her life. When she died, after several years of disabling disease, I felt that half of my life was gone. Children and grandchildren cannot replace the wife, no matter how kind, helpful, and generous they are. Therefore, I must live with my loss and my sorrow. "But you do have all the memories," people say. "Yes," I say with Dante, "but there is no greater pain in life than to remember past happiness in the days of sorrow." How do I cope with all this? I start with the body. And I do have one important remedy, my bike. I bicycle everywhere with long spikes in the winter. I feel safer at the bike than on my feet, and I come to accept that younger people overtake me. "Yes," I whisper to them, "come again when you are 80. The body is important enough, but the mind is more important. For me, there is only one remedy against loss and sorrow, and that is to be doing something all the time. I am privileged, since it is easy for me to find activities that engage other people. For example, lectures, projects, and the community council are the most important. As an elected member of the community council, I have to take an active interest in the community and its people, young and old. When the days are running with constant activity, I know why I have to get up in the morning, and I have things to thank for when I say good night to the picture of my wife. The social life is important, and I divide it in circles. In the center I have the close family. The children look after me, but they share one great weakness, and that is that none of them live in the neighborhood. To mend that, I have started a firm with three grandchildren, 11 to 16 years. They live in a street which is called Quick Street, and the name of the firm is Quick Services. They come every second week and do house cleaning and gardening. There is a good lunch and time for talk. We have agreed that the pay shall not be adjusted for age. The next circle is the greater family and the close friends whom I have known for many years. We exchange services, and it is important to see them, talk with them, and call them up to keep the social network going. It is only natural that an increasing part of the network is elderly ladies, my wife's friends, for example. We see each other, and they know that I am no cook. Sometimes when I come home to the empty house, there is a plastic bag on the door handle containing a delicious frozen dinner. The network is and gives life. Finally, I must say a few words about the soul. I think about and struggle with belief, and once a month I telephone my brother-in-law in Denmark. He is 93, has been a minister, and has his warm, simple belief, according to Grundtvig. He is blind, but knows his Bible by heart. He will never criticize, and he limits himself to warm encouragement. Therefore, I end with a family motto, which cannot be easily translated, but the message is this: there are three important things in life: to love, to stick together, and to endure.